Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion and splendor, and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Well, this week, we have a number of scriptures that I want us to look at. Because as I make my case, so to speak, before God's throne of grace and the court of man, so to speak, there's so much happening. Now, is it any different today? This January 10th, 2016, than some other day in the history of the world? Perhaps it is, maybe it isn't. But one thing is for sure, we have access to knowing what's going on around the world more than any other people have ever had in the history of the world. Now that may be good in some respects, but it certainly has created a circumstance that's difficult for most of us. And I guess as we're looking at these scriptures, I'd like to kind of set as a theme that media hype destroys faith. And think about if, in fact, the media, which the predominant one, of course, today is television and television news, if the television news and the radio news and all the programs were more oriented towards giving the Lord the glory, remembering Him and His ways and His will and His word, His word, His will and His ways, what a great help that would be to us, instead of having our faith eroded or destroyed by the media hype. The media would be encouraging our faith, encouraging our walk with the Lord. So as we look at, we ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher always, whenever that we open the Bible. It's always a wise thing to pray and ask the Holy Spirit. And then we are praying and asking God, the Holy Spirit, if You would help us to understand what we're reading. As I had discussion with somebody this week, always looking for those opportunities, you know, to discuss the Word of God and what the Lord's doing. We know so much about what the devil's doing, but not so much about what the Lord's doing. And a fellow said that he was planning to try to read the Bible through in a short period of time. He had never done that before, which, of course, is kind of frightening to a certain degree, to think that there are many people who are Christians who have never read the Bible through in its entirety from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. And that is very sad, because I believe though heaven and earth shall pass away, what Matthew 24:35 says, God's word will not pass away. And so ignorance of the word of God is a severe defect for any of us. And so what's the encouragement? Okay, you become a Christian, you're saved, you're born again, and you should have a hunger to know the Lord more. And how would we get to know Him better? Well, there's a couple of different ways. One is the Logos, the written word of God, that Greek word for the written word of God, by studying the Scriptures. And then the Rhema, which is the inspired word of God, the living word of God, if you will. And because of the Holy Spirit bringing to life the Scriptures that are on the page, bringing to life the Logos, the Rhema. And with the Logos, the understanding of the written word of God, and then the God-breathed word, if you will, the Rhema, the fire that we feel when we recite and encourage people in the word of God. And of course, the Rhema helps us, the Holy Spirit doing this. Each time we study Scripture, we may see something we didn't see before. We find a depth that we didn't find before. We find an application in our own lives that we didn't think of before. And so I can honestly say, and I did testify this to the man who was asking me, I said, I have never, ever gone to the Word of God and found it boring, nor have I ever gone to the Word of God, even the reading the genealogies, which might bore most people, and the names that are difficult to recite. I've always seen something there from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit teaching, reminding me, God didn't waste words here. He didn't put together a book called the Bible just to take up your time and give you a bunch of boring stuff. No. He's given us something to live by, regardless of what the world is doing. So the first scripture we want to look at here is Proverbs 13th chapter and verse 12. Proverbs 13:12. I'm going to read it from the Geneva translation. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. The hope that is deferred is the fainting of the heart. But when the desire cometh, it is as a tree of life. And I'll read verse 13 also. He that despiseth the word, he shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment, he shall be rewarded. And so I've just read from the Geneva translation, 13th chapter of Proverbs, verses 12 and 13. It's a good start off for us in this theme that I'm working on, that media hype destroys faith. And of course, verse 12, where it says, hope that is deferred is the fainting of the heart. But when the desire cometh, it is as a tree of life. And of course, we can certainly say that the media defers any hope. I mean, if you watch the media and paying a lot of attention, as some people never turn their television set off, it's on 24/7. They have it in the living room, they have it in the kitchen, they have it in the bedroom, they have it in the bathroom. So they're constantly being bombarded with these things that defer hope. And of course, what happens in the different translations of Scripture when you read that hope that is deferred is the fainting of the heart. Many people are faint at heart today because of the media hype that's destroying their faith. Mm-hmm. And of course, then verse 13, he that despiseth the word, he shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment, he shall be rewarded. And so the media hype that destroys our faith, that is a hope that's deferred, that weakens the heart, of course, causes people to despise the Word of God. And in despising the Word of God, as many people do, they're destroyed. And the person that fears the commandment of the Lord, that understands these things, that has protected themselves and been protected from this media hype that destroys faith, they will be rewarded. Now, the reward that goes to the believer is more than just the idea of one day I'll be rewarded because I'll be with Jesus and his saints in glory forever. Sort of an old-fashioned way of putting it. That is a reward, and that is certainly a reward for those that believe and that continue to overcome. But there's more of a belief on a day-to-day basis. There's more of a reward by saying your heart is functioning well, your heart is not weak, and I'm not talking about just physically here. I'm talking about, you have a heart for God because your hope is not deferred. That you realize, no matter what the media hype is that's destroying faith, that you realize that the Lord's promises are yea and amen, that he's keeping them, and he's working things out, no matter what we see. And it appears to me that there's a lot more going on at this time of my life that I'm observing around the world than probably that we've seen before. There's always been things going on that were distressing, and we might not have known about them. And of course, as we have recently seen, people were shocked and dragged their feet going into World War II because they were told, if you'll just participate in World War I, this is the war to end all wars. But of course, it wasn't the war to end all wars, and many wars have come after it. But see, anyone that promised that it was going to be the war to end all wars was not promising from the Word of God. That was a media hype that destroys faith, because the Lord said, I am the Prince of Peace, and in the end times, whatever that is, and many people have their different opinions of what the end times are or is, the Lord has said there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. And so the true end, the true war to end all wars, will be the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus comes with his saints and destroys all his enemies, and you know, some of the songs that we sing and reading those scriptures. So when the media hypes things, saying, oh yeah, this is the war to end all wars, and by the way, here's a new war. Now I want us to go to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Psalm 49. And I'm going to ask if Mrs. Lear would please read Psalm 49, which is quite a few verses there. 20 verses, but we have the time to listen.
Okay. So Psalm 49 from the English Standard Version. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed. And though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Psalm 49 from the English Standard Version.
I draw our attention to the first verse of that chapter in particular because, once again, we see how the media hype destroys people's faith and how much even good Christian people spend so much time listening to the news and believing or reading the newspaper or hearing it on the radio and believing that they're hearing truth, when in fact, for the most part, they're listening to hype that's designed to affect people in a certain way. This first verse of this chapter here of Psalm 49, "Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye that dwell in the world." And so here the Lord is declaring that the Bible is not just, his word is not just for his people or those that are the born again, those that are believers. He's saying that this should be declared to all people of the world, regardless of where they live, what their backgrounds are, their ethnicity, their whatever. He's saying, "Hear, all ye people, give ear, all ye that dwell in the world." Mm-hmm. And then he describes in verse 2, "as well low as high, both rich and poor." And so throughout the chapter, there's discussion about the rich that think they're insulated from trial and tribulation, or they're insulated from the things of God. But the Lord is saying in his word, both low and high, rich and poor, which says, of course, those that believe that all people are equal, obviously that's not true. We're all equally created, but we're not all equal. There are some that are rich, there are some that are poor, there are some that are high, there are some that are low. Well, what is the great equalizer for all of that? Well, is that the Word of God is reaching out to all people, regardless of where they live and who they are. And of course, there's an important point here that I'm leading to, because that media hype that destroys people's faith in the Lord, that many times they enter in, that's like saying, okay, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, you're eating the poison food voluntarily. You don't have to. And I can see myself, though I do follow different things over the internet for the most part, occasionally reading in a newspaper or hearing radio, even Christian radio, that is giving the news from the world point of view. And of course, Christians would say, well, let's listen to Christian radio, and then what we're listening on Christian radio is going to be the news that will encourage our hearts. But if the Christian radio is reporting the news that they get from the world, well, then they're just participating in the media hype that destroys people's faith. And so it's very important that we recognize that where the source of our inspiration is going to come from, it's going to come from Scripture. Now we're going to turn to Psalm 115 and the declaration of Scripture, and I've said this wherever I go, that the best thing that anybody can do anymore, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, read Scripture out loud, at the state house, at the courthouse, at your house, at your place of business, wherever that you are. And of course, if somebody says, why are you doing this? You can refer to Psalm 49 verse 1 saying, the Lord says to broadcast his word to all people. high and low, rich and poor, all over the world. And of course, what is our purpose? The purpose of God's word, though heaven and earth shall pass away, my word will never pass away, so people will know what God's will is according to him rather than someone else. It's one of the reasons why I believe in commentaries, I believe in study Bibles, but too many people spend time reading everyone else's commentary about a passage of Scripture, for example, or somebody's explanation or exhortation without reading it for themselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to be their teacher. And I believe that this is what's going to sort things out. So as we look at Psalm 115, there are 18 verses there. I'm going to read them all. I'm reading from the Geneva translation here. Beginning of verse 1, Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give the glory, for thy loving mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore shall the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in heaven. He doeth whatsoever he will. Their idols are silver and gold, even the work of men's hands. They have a mouth and speak not. They have eyes and see not. They have ears and hear not. They have noses and smell not. They have hands and touch not. They have feet and walk not. Neither make they a sound with their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so all that trust in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust ye in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their helper and their shield. For the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord will increase his graces toward you, even toward you and toward your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made the heaven and earth. The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but he hath given the earth to the sons of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into the place of silence. But we will praise the Lord from henceforth and forever. Praise ye the Lord. And that was Psalm 115, verses 1 through 18, in the Geneva translation. Probably some people would like to know why I'm so specific by giving passages, letting people know what the translation is, and so forth and so on. Well, let's just say, if you're doing a bibliography, you usually include in your bibliography what your source material is. And particularly, I like to repeat it over and over again to people, so when they're listening, when they're studying with us, whether it's live, real time, or whether it's listening to recordings, they can go to that passage of Scripture and follow along. Now, the news media rarely, if ever, you know, in their hype job that they do that destroys our faith so often, rarely, if ever, do they really say what the source is. And, of course, you know, we've been told that the news media can't divulge what their source is. An insider said such and such, or we got this from a credible source. Well, who's the credible source? Well, there's no source that's more credible than God's Word, so do this on posting on Facebook or whatever else, whatever I'm saying, I usually post some scripture with it to say, okay, if you're wondering where I got this from, here's my source material. And of course, Christians should have a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview means that you see through the glasses that show you how God has created things, not how man has perverted things. Not how man has hyped things and so forth and so on. And this is the time when I think there are people who are saying, well, what can I do? You can do something. When you send out cards to celebrate the birth of Christ, and otherwise known as Christmas cards, make sure they have scriptures on them. When you have checks, make sure your checks have scripture on them. When you send something on an envelope, stamp some scripture on the envelope. There's many, many ways. Have some scriptural things in your house so when people come to visit, they see scripture on the wall or in some kind of a plaque. And, of course, the idea of standing before committees and opening up with the Word of God and whatever and expecting, well, some people are going to say to you, we don't want that. But the thing is, whether they want it or not, is not the point. You know, the thing is, the Lord wants us to do it. And, of course, we look at verse 11 of Psalm 1 and 15 there. It says, He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And what does it mean to fear the Lord? I think most people don't quite get that, and if we were to do a word study in the original manuscript languages about what that is, what it means to fear the Lord, He will certainly continue His grace toward His people. He'll still govern and continue all things therein, but basically fearing the Lord means giving respect to Him that He is due. He's sovereign God, He's almighty God, He's worthy of all respect, and His word is worthy of all respect. And for years people used to say, make a statement, well, the Bible is God's word and I believe it's true, and so God said it and it's true. Well, that's a good statement. God said it, and it is true. And some want to do interpretation on it, but just reading the Bible, and of course, as some might say, the Bible speaks. Because if we let the Holy Spirit be our teacher, He's going to bring out from the Scripture. I mean, what part of He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great, what part of that does somebody need to interpret? Or in verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for He is their helper and their shield. Now the media and their hype that destroys our faith doesn't say, oh folks, we've got Fukushima going on, we've got some kind of a gas situation that's being released almost like a volcano in California, and all the storms and the flooding and the mudslides and so forth and so on. But folks, don't put your attention to that. Put your attention on fearing the Lord, trusting Him. You shall fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for He is your helper and He is your shield. Now think about that. If people listened more to that and got more of that teaching and more of that help, what a difference that would make in people's lives. Because, of course, the enemy wants us to be naked, doesn't want us to be clothed in the Lord's righteousness. The enemy of our souls wants us to live in a kind of abject fear that we're afraid to do anything that's right because we're afraid that wrong or evil overcomes good, which is not true. And so we face these things over and over again, sometimes by our own, what we bring into our homes, what we bring into our lives, and don't even have a fair balance to take the time to read Scripture. So I encouraged this fellow who said he was going to try to read the Bible in 90 days and get some other people together. I said, well, what are you going to do if you can't get other people together to read with you? And he just kind of scratched his head. I said, I'd like to recommend to you that you follow that. Yes, invite some people to get together with you just to read Scripture. Not to debate it or anything like that. Just read it. Read it out loud. You know, people go to places where a new book is being introduced and the author's reading from his book, and people will sit there and listen to the author reading from the book. Well, read from God's book, the Bible, and be encouraged in your faith, and something else happens in there too. You listen to the media hype that destroys your faith in Christ and your faith in what God is doing, but you will hear better. You'll hear through the Word of God. You'll see through the Word of God and say, you know what? That's media hype. It's not true. It isn't true because it doesn't comport, if you will, with the Word of God, and of course, remembering government is not God. God is God and gives us government. I want us to turn now to Proverbs 29:18. Of course, this week, you and I, Mrs. Lear, were involved in studying this on a particular morning, but I want to spend a little bit more time with this because this is very important, especially on topic, what I'm using here today. Media hype destroys faith. So we're going to read verse 18 there. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, from the Geneva translation, where there is no vision, the people decay. But he that keepeth the law is blessed. And Mrs. Lear, go ahead and read it from your English Standard Version, please.
Proverbs 29, verse 18, English Standard Version, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law.
One interpretation that I have read of this particular verse says where there are not faithful ministers of the Word of God. So where there is no vision, and the vision, of course, according to this, is where there's no faithful ministers of God to present the Word of God. Now, we could interpret that, and this being part of Old Testament Scripture, of saying the prophets. When the prophets would not stand before the people and deliver the Word of God to the people would perish. And, of course, the idea of vision, where there is no vision, where there are no restraints. The Word of God is a restraint to us in a good way, not in a bad way. It's not like handcuffs. It's not like having a choker around your neck. It's a way of saying, okay, there are boundaries. Don't cross these boundaries. Stay within these boundaries. You know, and when we do that, just the same as it's a good idea that there's a line down the middle of the road. When people don't have a line down the middle of the road and they're inclined to try to occupy the entire road, then they're dodging each other on the road, and so having boundaries is a good thing. And of course, the media hype that destroys our faith is setting false boundaries, boundaries that the Lord has not set, or boundaries that the Lord wants set that are being torn down. And we see this so often with what's going on, whether it has to do these days with sanctity of marriage, or even, in my estimation, the most important thing, the sanctity of life. And of course, breaking all those barriers down, those are that vision not being there. So it's a challenge to all of us as Christians. What's our vision? What do you think? And our vision should be the Lord's vision. We get our vision from Him, not from the news media that's full of hype that destroys our faith. We get our vision from Him. Because He's saying, where there is no vision, where there is no restraint, the people decay. And I think that's interesting in the Geneva translation. The people decay. As opposed to saying the people are destroyed. Okay, because the idea of destroyed is almost like instantaneous. Okay, you're destroyed, you're gone. But having it translated that the people decay, and that's what we're seeing happening in our country, in America and throughout the world, there's a decay going on because people are being told, you can't just stand up and read the Bible, you can't pray in the name of Jesus, you can't go out there and say these things. And so there is a decaying going on. Our society is decaying from within. People are dying from within. Why? And let's go back to what we started with in Proverbs 13:12, because hope deferred decays the heart. So when we hear the Word of God being pronounced to the people, whether it's by the prophets or, in, I believe, in this New Testament period of time that we're in, we're all prophets. Not necessarily like Old Testament prophets, but we're all here to declare the word of God and, of course, share the word of our testimony. Now, we know that the book of Revelation tells us that the Antichrist is destroyed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So if we are restrained and we listen to the media hype that destroys our faith, we have no faith in the word of God, we have no faith that if we go out and proclaim, as we should, that there's going to be any acceptance to that. But the issue is not whether people accept the proclamation of God's gospel or the word. The issue is, will we be faithful to do that? And of course, that's the vision that we have to have. Those are the restraints we live in. And if the people do not get that, they're going to decay. We're told, very simply, and we have to be the ones demonstrating this, that keeping the law, we're blessed in keeping the law. And of course, where there is no vision, where there is no restraint, the people decay, and that could also be translated, they run wild. They run wild. And of course, the idea of vision is keeping or obeying, and the news media is showing us this hype that everybody's running wild. That destroys our faith to think that anybody's going to fall after, but how many millions of people in the world are declaring the word of God? That doesn't show up in the news media, in the media hype. How many people in the world aren't running wild? They're actually staying with the vision of the Lord. That doesn't get reported, but we see time after time, whether it's Ferguson or it's Baltimore or, you know, France and different things that are going on all over the world, of people not obeying, not being restrained, people letting it all hang out, going wild and whatever else. And of course, in seeing that, some people say, well, what's the use? Why try to restrain people? Well, it's not up to us to restrain them. It's just up to us that we be restrained in the good way. We keep or we obey. We don't run wild. We stay within the vision, the framework, the boundaries the Lord's given us. And why do we do that? Out of love for him, out of obeying him. And by the way, he also says that if we'll do this, you're going to be blessed. And the interesting thing is, we'd have to do a little bit more study to determine that. But what does it mean to be blessed? You see, according to the news media hype, blessed is having lots of money, being able to buy lots of things and so forth and so on. But is that what it is to be blessed? Or is it blessed is to have a certain peace? Like Jesus said, my peace I give you, not a peace like the world give you. A peace that the world cannot give you and a peace the world cannot take away. And so we look at the media hype that destroys our faith, but our faith is not destroyed because we don't believe the media hype. And we don't pollute ourselves to constantly always being in the media hype without having given sufficient time to God's word that shows us what true vision is, what the restraints are we have. Now, if we look at Hosea 4:6, I always consider that Hosea 4:6 is sort of a companion verse, if you will, for Proverbs 29:18. I like to always make sure that those two come together. And remember, when we look into certain scriptures like this, they're called minor prophets. But it's not because what they're sharing is minor. You go from the major prophet, if you will, Daniel, to Hosea, chapter 4. And it's so similar to Proverbs. And isn't it interesting, we've used this description too, that in understanding Scripture, Scripture explains itself by the provision of two, that there'll always be Scripture that matches up in one way or another with another scripture. So we look for that. And here is a companion scripture to Proverbs 29:18, Hosea 4:6. Mrs. Lear, why don't you read that from the English Standard Version?
All right, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Hosea 4, verse 6 from the English Standard Version.
Now that's a pretty scary thing in my estimation. But once again, we're seeing here, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. As it said in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, okay, and vision is the restraints. Where do we find the restraints that we have on our lives? We find that in the Word of God, that the Word of God is God's love letter to us, but it's a love letter of saying, okay, there are restraints. I mean, if we're traveling on a highway and the highway has disappeared in an earthquake and there's a big hole in the ground, wouldn't we be glad there was a sign saying the bridge is out? That's a restraint. That's part of the vision. And so here, lack of knowledge. What knowledge? I mean, we're technologically the most advanced civilization the world has ever known in terms of knowledge, so to speak. We know about all kinds of things. And you talk to the average person, they don't seem to be able to know much about what's really important, but they can tell you a lot about the weather. They can tell you a lot about sports. They can tell you a lot about who's done what in government, who's running for office, and things like that. But they can't tell you the things that are really important in most cases. And so that means that my people are destroyed. And, of course, when we see those words, just like we looked at in Proverbs 29:18, it seems like the Lord's going to do that instantaneously. But when we think of it in the terms of a decaying that's going on, and that's what's happening, this is a slow destruction. It's not an instantaneous destruction. The lack of knowledge of the Word of God. There's a dearth of the lack of, the, of knowledge in the Word of God. If people would get together and read, and when I preach, I generally like to use whole passages of Scripture rather than just one verse, because it's a wonderful thing to have people stand up and say, okay, let's read the Word of God together. Let's declare the Word of God. You know, people will sit in front of the television set or by the radio and they'll listen to this media hype that destroys their faith, but they don't want to sit long to hear the Word of God or read the Word of God. What if one of the greatest things that we did, instead of even having preaching, that we just got together and read the Word of God, declare the Word of God, that this is the vision that the Lord has given us, the restraint that's good, and that there are people that have refused knowledge. And of course, as we go back to Psalm 49:1, where it says, this is a word to all people everywhere, and there are people that are refusing it. If you don't read that Word of God to me, don't read that Bible to me, well, we can tell them, if that's your attitude, you're going to be, you're refusing knowledge, the proper knowledge. And I will also refuse thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. And seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will forget thy children. The Word of God, and we look at the sins of the fathers are visited on the sons into the second and third generation. How is that? Well, part of the way is, it would be like saying, okay, what would happen if we didn't teach our children about arithmetic, or we didn't teach them language? Well, where would they get it from? They'd have to get it from somewhere else. So if we don't teach it to them and they don't learn it, that's going to carry with them. So there are things, when it comes to the Word of God, we're supposed to be educating our children in the Word of God and demonstrating to them from the very beginning. From as soon as we know they're in the womb, declaring to them the Word of God. And as, of course, people are always discussing and somewhat studying the policies of the fascists and the policies of the socialists and the policies of the communists, they got a hold of children very young, and as Hitler said, from 0 to 7, and I'll have them for his lifetime, and instilled these things in them. Well, knowing why is that? Because the Lord made for children to receive the Word of God and to be established on that foundation for their whole life. So people that refuse the Word of God, they're making a big mistake. And so I challenge all of our believing friends and brethren in the Lord, forget the media hype that destroys faith. You know, everybody's paying attention to all that and thinking that they're listening to the gospel truth. And it's been proven time and time again, you're not getting the truth from them at all. Just a small amount of truth, just enough to, you know, tantalize you and whatever else. But anytime you open the Word of God, you're going to get truth, totally unadulterated. It's going to be the vision that you need to carry that's the right restraint, so you won't be running wild. And he who obeys the word of truth and the word of God is blessed for it in a whole lot of ways. Some that we can look at, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount, where the word blessed is used numerous times. There are blessings there, but there are many more blessings. And one of the great blessings is that our heart is strong because we don't see that hope is deferred. The Lord's on track. He's moving right along. Because he's Almighty God, make sure that we're moving with him. Well, Father, we thank you that you have provided your word. Thank you today on this, the Lord's Day, as we're studying your word together. Thank you, Lord, that we have learned and we have a vision that we're glad to have. And we declare this knowledge to those who would listen, and those that don't, we declare to them you haven't listened. And a prophetic warning of the destruction that comes upon people that have no vision on the vision given by the Lord. So thank you for helping us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher today. We glory in your presence, and always, as we say, we will have no other king but King Jesus. No one else is worthy to be called it. We thank you. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.